back here on the Blitz Hour 2, starting right now. Someone needs to tell my voice that it's starting right now. My goodness.
Almost died there, buddy.
I can't speak.
Almost lost Charlie right there.
I don't even know what that noise was that came out of my mouth. My
tonsil
goodness.
Trying to choke you.
Oh, man. It's a long Tuesday. Anyway, hour two of the Blitz. Charlie and Stackhouse here with you for another hour. As we start hour two with opening drive. What are you laughing at over there?
I about choked on myself, my own drink right after you.
You threw me off.
I about died.
First down, according to Jack Nicholas, if Saudi Arabian organizers of the LIV Golf Invitational Series had their way, Jack Nicholas and not Greg Norman would have been the face of their new tour, which, you know, has sparked much controversy in golf. A very, very complicated subject. He said, quote, "I was offered something in excess of $100 million by the Saudis to do probably, you know, the job similar to the one that Greg is doing." He said he turned it down once verbally, once in writing. He said, "Guys, I have to stay with the PGA Tour. I have to, you know, I help start the PGA Tour."
Dang, $100 million.
I mean, he was one of those.
He's 82. $100 million. What does he need it for?
Yeah, I mean, what's he gonna do with $100 million? Like, oh, yeah. Grandkids. Here's more money.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's already the face of golf.
So, like, basically. I don't really know if I would have taken that either. I'd just do it. If I'm 82 and already rich, I'd just do whatever I want. I'd be a menace, but he was one of the players that split from the PGA of America and hired Joe Day as the tour's first commissioner in 1968. So, you know, he was one of the guys that helped
start the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty funny. I didn't know they ever split from something before the tour. I'm not that knowledgeable on the world of golf, but yeah, I didn't know that.
There is a war going on though in golf because the PGA probably not handling it well. You know, they're talking about banning guys from playing the Masters, banning guys from the tour if they go play in these events.
Yeah.
They're denying conflict event releases for players who have requested to go play in some of these events. The first event is scheduled at the Cinturon Golf Club, just outside of London, June 9th through 11th. So, you know, less than a month.
Is that even possible for them to ban people just because they go play in another tournament?
I guess so. I mean, yeah, it is.
That's crazy.
It's an 8-event series at this point. It's going to feature 5 tournaments played in the U.S., 7 regular season events, and then a team championship match play final at Trump Doral in Miami in October. But, yeah, I mean, last week the PGA denied conflicting event releases for players. Tuesday is the deadline for requesting a release from the tour for the event. Phil Mickelson obviously is one of those guys that has, you know, Sergio has. There's been a lot of guys that have. And, you know, I think there's growing anger towards the PGA and the way they're handling it. But, you know, people don't necessarily want to go play for the Saudis either. They're just attracting that money.
Well, I mean, good. They're.
There's even talk, you know, about
the whole purpose of the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's even talk about, like, Ricky Fowler was interested in joining this.
Dude,
he hasn't played
good prize
golf
is
lately.
Amazing.
You know, he could use that money.
Yeah.
He could go get.
I'm telling you, man, I mean, they're throwing money around out there. And
yeah, how they get that money, we don't ask those kind
of
questions.
Who cares? It's coming to me through golf. I mean, that's crazy to me. I don't even think this wouldn't even take away from the prestige of the PGA Tour, I don't even think. Because there's nothing like the Masters, the U.S. Open. There's nothing like those events in golf.
I don't think it would either. I mean, I think the biggest issue that people have is just the morality of it. They just don't want to take money that's coming from bad places. But at the same time, I mean, the PGA, you know, they hold events in countries that don't fit the moral standards of some of these people. Like, they have an event in Mexico, which is one of the more corrupt countries in the world.
That's crazy to me.
Like, I just feel like there is some hypocrisy here, but I also get it. Like, I get the people that are upset. And, you know, I think some of these golfers just also are kind of trying to push for a little bit of change on the PGA Tour. You know, they're a little upset about some things there.
That's pretty interesting.
And this kind of helps do it, too. But some interesting storylines ahead of the PGA Championship this weekend in Tulsa.
Yeah. Mickelson's still not even enrolled in that, is he?
No, he's not.
He backed out of the Saudi League, didn't he?
I don't think so.
Oh, I just probably misinterpreted all of that. I just thought when all that came out about him is he said something, and then I thought he backed out, but I just probably misread all of that. Which, I mean, again, dude, if I'm Phil Mickelson, I just go get the money too. I'm still, what is he, like 60-something? Can't be no older than that.
In other news, second down. Great news for the Vols, not as the top, or one of the top cornerbacks in the 2023 class, Marcus Washington Jr., and one of Georgia's top committed players, is now going to forego his senior year of high school, reclassify, and join Georgia's incoming freshman class. A top 100 player from Grovetown, Georgia. Georgia looking to rebuild its safe secondary a little bit. They lost Darion Kendrick, Luis Seen.
Lost everybody.
They had four more guys leave through the portal from that secondary. So, you know, they need the depth. That was even something that I think Kirby Smart talked about a little bit after their spring practice, was he was kind of concerned about their corner depth, and I think that's what some other people around that program had said too. So
I'll tell you, man,
I wouldn't say this is a move for him to come in and even really compete for early playing time, but, you know, this
just
is a move.
To build
they
for
need
next
somebody
year.
To be there on the 2 and 3 deep, that they trust a little bit more, so
mold a player
Georgia
into what they want.
Machine rolls on. And I still don't think Georgia's going to be as good this year as people
I do. I 100% agree with you.
They
I do not
so
think
much
that.
Defensively.
Yeah. The speed of the offense in the SEC are maintaining now. I think it's just going to be a big problem for that Georgia defense to even keep up. Because, I mean, what is their quarterback options right now?
It'll just be Stetson Bennett again.
Yeah, so I don't know if he can keep an offense going to keep up with another powerful offense, you know? It'll be interesting. I'm telling you, dude, we might have a sleek, sneaky chance in this SEC East this year. I'm telling you, don't sleep on it. I'm telling you. Be weird.
Third down, things keep getting worse for the Maple Leafs. Not only were they, you know, the first team to blow it 5 straight years, to lose a game 7 in 5 straight series in 5 straight years, or to lose 10 straight clinching games, or this, that, and the other, you know, not win a playoff series in like 18 years. Well, their star player Mitch Marner also got his car broken into on Tuesday. he was carjacked.
Oh, wow.
Actually,
yeah.
Not car break-in, carjacked.
I even read carjacking. It's just like a break-in of the car as well. I didn't even think about him. Oh, my gosh.
He was sitting in his black Range Rover, 745 on a Monday in Toronto, when a gun was pulled on him, and his car was stolen.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. So, now the question is, do you think it's all just payback?
Like, you think maybe someone...
It's just some crazy fan that's like, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm going to go scare the life out of somebody, dude.
I mean, if it's going to happen to anyone...
I feel like that's the last one you'd probably do it to.
It'd be in, like, Toronto, I feel like. Just how, if any fan base would get mad enough, they could be one that would.
No, yeah, Canadian hockey fans are crazy. Almost like, but that's nuts.
Just yeah.
He just
another
he's like no additional comments.
And, oh, also,
I'm taking this black Range.
Here's a gun getting pulled on you. Fourth down. Well, Deshaun Watson, your guy. Big Deshaun Watson guy Stackhouse is. He is set to meet with the NFL this week.
Seemed like an underhanded comment. compliment there.
A source confirmed to ESPN. The meeting will take place in Texas. The NFL has been investigating Watson to determine if he violated its code of conduct. As, again, he's facing 22 civil lawsuits from women who have accused him of inappropriate sexual conduct, getting them massages. They declined to indict him on two separate juries. Watson denied all wrongdoing, but they will be meeting with him. I have a feeling...
I think we're about to get some answers on if he's going to be suspended and for how long.
I have a feeling he's going to get suspended.
Oh, there's no doubt. Be
roughly half a season.
Yeah.
And, maybe a little bit less, maybe 4 games, maybe 6 games. But...
I'd seen somewhere that they'd, on Twitter, they were talking about they were planning on making him the last meeting of the offseason, basically. He'll be the last player they talked about, like, player conduct and suspensions and such. And so if they're going to meet with him now, I think you're going to get some answers pretty soon.
I mean, they owe that to the Browns.
Well, yeah. Give them some answers to let them be able to do what they do.
I mean, they just need to figure out what they need to start game planning for, who they need to start preparing, like... Or is this star quarterback that we just acquired going to be able to play for us or not this year? Like, the Browns deserve that answer, so I think they're going to get it soon. Meanwhile, Watson, after this trip to Texas to visit with the NFL investigators, is going to the Bahamas.
It's a great place to go bond, baby.
Yeah, great place to get away with breaking the law or bond.
You know, you got to build a relationship with your offensive weapons. He will be hosting
several of his teammates in the Bahamas this weekend to work out and bond before the start of OTAs. It's unclear how many teammates will be traveling, but one source said it would largely be his offensive weapons.
Yeah. He's already, you know, he'll buy the lineman something. Just buy him a car or something.
Yeah, the lineman, you know.
They always get bought Rolexes and watches and... all sorts of gifts, and I feel like I'd take them down to the Bahamas. I don't care about the rest of them. But I guess they're probably doing a lot of beach routes, you know, beach workouts. Man, you got to run in the sand. That sand, the sand drills, man.
Bad for you.
It's an A.
So you messed up your knees.
Hey,
remember they used to have that sand something in the NFL Pro Bowl, like competition or whatever.
Yeah,
and
oh.
That dude blew out his knee, and like they stopped doing it.
Dang, really?
Yeah, that happened, right? I didn't dream that.
No, I don't. I just don't really ever really watch the Pro Bowl. It's such a... I like the skills challenges and stuff, I guess, that they started doing recently. Like the catches and stuff, but still, that's just all... The NFL needs to do something about the Pro Bowl.
Right? I'm not losing my mind. Here's an article. Pro Bowl, 20 years later... The Robert Edward injury is still a fresh wound in Patriots' memory. In 1999, the outstanding rookie suffered a career-changing knee injury. He was drafted in 18th overall and immediately took over for lead back Curtis Martin. He saw action in all 17 games. Gained 1,500 yards as a rookie, 13 touchdowns.
And then, in the sand.
It even got to participate in the Pro Bowl. Not the actual game, but at the time, the outstanding rookies would get invited to the Rookie Beach Bowl. Right? And then all the other, like, good rookies, whatever else... they would all, you know, go to play this beach bowl. That year it was Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, they were there.
Just blew it out in the sand.
And
I keep like trying to imagine how that would happen. And I can just like picture it.
He jumped up, landed awkwardly, did not feel any pain right away. But then he just couldn't get back up. He was carried off the field under applause, placed under a buffet table for evaluation, and that's when the pain started in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. He tore ACL, MCL, PCL, partially tore his LCL, and suffered incredible nerve damage.
I think
that's sliced his left artery in his leg.
Oh my.
And was told his leg might have to be amputated.
Oh my God.
And since then, yeah. Dream of playing football is pretty much over.
Well,
he tried to make a comeback in 2021 and hurt his groin in training camp and never played again.
Oh, he tried to come back last season?
I said 2021. Yeah. I meant to say 2001.
Oh.
He also actually, he played in 12 games in 2002 and got 200 yards, and then he was done.
Okay. I'd have believed he'd taken that long to recover and come back in 2021, dude. I've been like, yeah, give it to him.
So, yeah, they used to do that Rookie Beach Bowl. They don't do the Rookie Beach Bowl anymore.
Oh, it was like a whole game?
Yeah.
Oh, that's dumb.
Yeah. So.
Oh, that's so dumb.
That's why you got to avoid the beach stuff.
Yeah, that sounds.
Could you imagine, by the way, like.
What would you do to fix the Pro Bowl? It's just not fun. Would you just make it a huge like flag football game?
7-on-7, but by positions.
What do you mean by position? Like all wide receivers
all
play
wide
against
receivers all receivers?
Oh, all arm one team
versus all offensive linemen. Dude. Versus all defensive linemen. I'm just saying.
I'm kind of not against it, but also. That's not fair to, like, you know, a bunch of DBs versus a bunch of quarterbacks, dude. Or do you think it's 7-on-7 quarterbacks versus quarterbacks? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. It was just a thought.
No, that's actually, that'd be cool. If I got 7 QBs against 7 other QBs and played a 7-on-7 to see who's the most athletic group of QBs.
I was thinking.
That's not. But I wouldn't have them go up against no wide receivers. They just out.
Yeah, but think about it. All the other teams wouldn't have quarterbacks.
But all, you've seen Jarvis Landry and even all these That's other fair. Dudes toss a ball 700 yards, dude.
I don't know. Maybe I get more competitions, too. But I'd have, like, big prizes for the competitions.
Yeah.
So it would get really competitive.
Yeah, I want it to be competitive.
$1 million lineman.
With the least amount of injury possible, so flag football probably, right? Touch football, anything like that. So you don't have to, like, put pads on or anything because they're not going to hit each other hard.
I want an all-offensive lineman throwing competition for $1 million. I want defensive linemen kicking field goals for $1 million. I want all kinds of just, let's make it as wacky as possible.
As possible, dude.
I don't know.
Just call the Savannah Bananas in, and they'll teach you a little bit about something. And we can make it as
Savannah
wacky.
Savannah takes it too far.
I know, but they can get the ball rolling in the NFL. That's all I'm saying.
Well, maybe Robert Edwards could have just visited Linderman Sports Medicine, but you can. Linderman Sports Medicine, they are the ones powering the Fan Run Radio live stream located in Memphis. If you are not active right now because of discomfort, pain, or anything else limiting your activities, then check out the amazing work being done by Dr. Laura Linderman at Linderman Sports Medicine. You know, people are coming from all over Tennessee, all over everywhere else to get back in the game. There's no one that does it better than Linderman Sports Medicine. I mean, again, people are coming from all over to go right here to Linderman Sports Medicine. That is LENDERMON sportsmedicine.com to go check them out. Whether you're trying to get back on your bike, back to the gym, walk around the park, have a, you know, just generally a healthier lifestyle. Something little bothering you, something big bothering you. It doesn't matter. Linderman Sports Medicine, they'll take care of it all. Again, LindermanSportsMedicine.com. They're powering the Fan Run Radio live stream. That was an opening drive. Got some Tennessee news to get into on the other side. Stay with us here on the Blitz. Tennessee landed a commitment today in basketball as 2023 power forward Toby Okawa has committed to Tennessee. This is a guy that is flown under the radar, but Tennessee got in on recently and had picked up a ton of momentum for. You know, we kind of heard that this was going to be happening soon. This is not really a surprise. Again, not yet rated by 247, but including, you know, the Tennessee offer, he also got Maryland, St. John's, and Pitt involved in his recruitment late. So, you know, this morning he announced that as a, he is a member of the 2023 class and committing to Tennessee. And though he committed as a 2023 guy, reclassifying, I think, is probably something you're going to see. He plays actually for the same New York Lightning AAU program that Zakai Ziegler played for.
Oh.
This guy was the Gatorade Player of the Year in New York after averaging 19 points, 14 rebounds per game at Cardinal Hayes High School. A guy that I think people were kind of confused is flying under the radar just because, again, he is 6'8", 235. You know, he would be the fourth addition or the fourth member of the 2022 class if he does reclassify with Julian Phillips, B.J. Edwards, Tyreek Key. He was here this past weekend, him and DJ Jefferson. Jefferson, a three-star wing. I think he's a guy that is also going to be committing to Tennessee here rather, you know, quickly.
Okay.
Jefferson, gonna, I think, going to be committing soon. He's a 6'5", 190-pound wing who I think is also flying under the radar a little bit. And if, you know, if you add Toby Akua to the 2022 class, if he does reclassify, that still leaves you with two open scholarships. I think the other would then go to DJ Jefferson.
Okay.
And I think the other is, you know, is reserved for the transfer portal. Obviously, Tennessee's been very involved in the transfer portal this offseason.
Do you feel we've done we've replaced well? I guess is.
I mean, I think you're gonna have a top 10 roster going into next
year.
Okay. That's what I think. But you know, in terms of you know, continue to fill out this roster, that's I guess where the questions start to come up of what do you do? You know, do you take guys? Do you take guys like, you know, Toby Akua, and do you take guys like DJ Jefferson, or do you continue to try to add like big talent in the portal? And I think there's value adding guys like Jefferson and like Akua. You know, you want to have some guys that are in your program for 3 or 4 years. And Rick Barnes, I think we can agree, has done a pretty good job identifying talent, identifying some underrated players.
For sure.
You know, he's missed, obviously, too, and that's going to happen. You know, Rick Barnes always likes to kind of take stabs at guys, and you've seen Burns transfer out, who's actually turned into a good player. Maybe not the best example, but, you know, you've seen Pimber leave. You've seen Tomba leave. Like, you see guys every – Zabounji this offseason, Dibunde. You know, you see a lot of guys – hit the road too, because I think you do kind of know within that first year whether or not it's a guy that you think is going to develop and have a role later on. But I mean, you look at this team and you have Olivier Kamwa, you have Uroš Plasvić, you have Jonas Adu, who you're really excited to see, you know, what his development looks like,
especially with Huntley Hatfield out of the way and such.
You know, you have Santiago Vescovi and Zakai Ziegler and Josiah James and now Julian Phillips, B.J. Edwards, like Tyreek Key. You already have a rotation that should be pretty shored up. Especially then, again, if you add the guy from Iowa State. Oh, my gosh. I just forget his name.
I did.
Well, the guy from Iowa State.
What's his? Hold on. I'll find it.
Yeah, can you?
Yeah, I got you.
Hold get on. Me there. I can't remember his name all of a sudden, but it's one of those Tuesdays. you know, if you add him too, like, he's another immediate impact guy. You also even, if you add, like, he's a guy that averaged 12 points a game, all nearly in the Big 12.
Talking about Tyrese Hunter?
Yeah, Tyrese Hunter. There you go. You know, if you add Tyrese Hunter too, which I think you have a lot of momentum for,
I think that'll be.
Then, like, even the addition of Tyreek Key almost doesn't make a lot of sense. To keep adding more players.
Do you think he's just doing that to see how, I mean, what fits?
Oh, I'm saying, like, if you kept adding more players, like top caliber players, then I think you'd almost just have too many options. Like, you'd have too many guys. So I think it does make more sense to go this route and take a couple more developmental guys and
just to see if they pan out.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, you have the transfer portal next year.
Like, you just have to trust your eye, too. And I think, you know, Rick Barnes has been around long enough where he trusts his eye, he trusts what he's doing. And Toby Awaka, the latest commitment, again, a guy that was the Gatorade Player of the Year in New York. Like, could be a very, very interesting addition for this team. You know, I don't know if he's playing immediately. I doubt he's playing immediately like you saw Zakai.
But that's fine, because, I mean, like you said, our we have a pretty set rotation as well.
Right.
So I agree with you.
Mm. You know, at this point, him and in DJ Jefferson, both. Like, those both aren't guys that are you're expecting to be a part of the rotation right away necessarily. You see something in them that you think you can develop, and
You hope they stay patient
you
enough.
You want a good mix, and you want a good mix of guys that have been around the program for a while and guys that have recently been brought in. You know, like this year, Olivier Kamwa. This will be, what, his fourth year? Urosh, his third year.
Yeah.
Josiah's fourth. Santi's third.
I'll probably
COVID
I'll pity back on that
timeline in my brain sometimes.
Like, yeah, it makes 2 years.
You're going to have experienced guys and guys that have been around your program, as well as, you know, new additions. BJ Edwards, Julian Phillips, Tyreek Key, you know, hopefully Tyrese Hunter. Like, you're going to have a good mix of guys. But, you know, when after this year, you're probably going to lose a lot more. And that's when you want some of the guys that have been in the program for a year or two that you feel like can, you know, provide some sort of role for you. So, this is a guy that gets me pretty excited, honestly. Again, I think there's a lot of talent there. Maybe not, you know, as much size as you like at 6'8", but a lot of talent. And I expect him to reclassify to 2022. He originally was a 2022 kid.
Oh, really?
And then he went back to 2023, thought he might actually go the prep school route.
Okay. And then
and then be in the 2023 class. So I think there is a pretty very good chance that he makes a jump back to 2022. But yeah, Tennessee, not a day goes by where, even for the teams in the off season, there's something going that there's not something going on. And today it is a commitment for Rick Barnes and company. So exciting news out of Knoxville. We're gonna catch a break though, and on the other side, it's news that maybe isn't as exciting for Tennessee, at least depending on who you ask. Stay with us right here on The Blitz. It's alright if you love. It's alright if you don't. I'm not afraid of you running away, honey. I get the feeling. Back here on The Blitz, as we're starting to wrap up this Tuesday show. There was some other big news yesterday for Tennessee as the 2023 trip to Provo to play BYU in football is no more. So now there's something we thought could happen. We thought it would be BYU canceling just because them joining the Big 12 in 2023 you know, that kind of put them in a tricky spot with some of the games they'd already had scheduled. Just, you know, in terms of where they were as an independent, they had a lot of games scheduled initially. So BYU now no longer on the schedule, which I was excited about. But BYU also had to play Arkansas.
Yeah.
So I would just think, you know, Arkansas, Tennessee, and then, you know, the 9-team Big 12 schedule was not something BYU wanted to do. But you replace that game now with a season opener in Virginia, or against Virginia in Nashville. I'm really disappointed.
Really? Would you rather play BYU than Virginia?
I was just really excited to like try to go to BYU, like go to Provo. I think
I
that
thought
would
the
have been
scenery,
so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, just so like pretty and fun, and just in general, pretty cool. Like I love when teams are going to play each other. I'm a big fan of home and homes.
Yeah. I think it's a good way to branch out. Yeah.
Neutral site games can be good every once in a while. You know, just when you go maybe to a big region where you have a lot of fans that isn't your region, like maybe you can get some fans at your
yes.
game. But like to play like a, you know, like a one of your group of five games, though. Like maybe you play someone in Atlanta or Nashville. Probably Nashville. Like Nashville is the one that makes the most sense. But like maybe you play in one of those areas and every once in a while and you get to...
See, I don't even say Nashville until they get a new stadium, really. I mean, playing in the city of Nashville is cool. It's a big place. But just Nissan Stadium is just not that.
It's not a bad stadium. It's just like an average one.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if I'm going to a neutral site game, I want it to be where everything... I would like it to be in like a big city that has a beautiful stadium, that has a backdrop, per se. Anything like that. I don't know. I just find that playing in Nashville is just, I don't know, it's just too close to home. It's not really like a neutral site game.
Yeah, I mean, more so like, it's not actually like meant to be neutral. So I was saying like for the people in Nashville, like there are people now in Middle Tennessee that don't really get to go to games that can go watch Tennessee play. Like that's what I'm saying. Every once in a while, like good, you know, I guess like a neutral site game is good in that sense, but home and homes are just so much more interesting. I think they stand out more. Like going to Autzen Stadium or going to Norman, Oklahoma. Like I think those are both really memorable games, even though you didn't win either of those games. You know, like that home and home with Cal, the home and home with Oregon, the home and home with Oklahoma. Like all those are awesome. You know,
it's how just a stadium you never get to see your team in.
Right. And like last year, you know, you get to see Auburn go to Penn State and Penn State have the whiteout.
Yeah.
That provided us with an incredible atmosphere.
Yes.
How you think that would have still been cool if they're we're in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta here.
There's not as much excitement around, I guess, a professional stadium as there is a college
like,
stadium.
I think every once in a while, like there are exceptions to this. I think when LSU played Wisconsin in Lambeau,
That was
awesome. Like that was one of the more fun things I've seen.
That's a historic
feat. The battle at Bristol, for example, was fun. I think there's been a fun game in Soldier Field as well. You know, when Notre Dame's gone to Ireland, like that's cool.
Those are memorable stadiums.
Exactly. Memorable. That's the
memorable
one. Like, when you can make a neutral site game memorable, whether it's the stadium itself or just the spectacle surrounding the game. That's different, but you know,
and even how you
said,
like,
neutral site games at Jerry World or in Atlanta.
That's what I'm
or
saying. Even
else,
these,
like, those are just they're old and told.
Yeah, all these new stadiums, all these
told,
new domes,
give us something new
are
and
boring
fresh.
Now almost. Yeah, it's just go back historic route. Go to a nice, beautiful, memorable, historic stadium
like Georgia Notre Dame. That's another one that comes to mind. Incredible to watch that home and home.
Yeah,
to watch Georgia fans go up
go
to Notre Dame.
Yes.
I would love that opportunity as a Tennessee fan. Even if we just made Virginia a home and home, like I'd be more cool with that.
Yeah, I'd much rather. Yeah, I
mean, it's not like
it's
that cool of a home and home, but like still, you know,
it's still
going to Virginia. When we go to Virginia,
there's just
like you
more
play Syracuse in a neutral site game in a couple more years. Shoot, let's just go to the Carrier Dome. Let's do a home and home with them. Like,
I agree. It's more. It's something that you haven't been to before, and the Music City Bowl happens in Nashville every year. You know what Nissan Stadium is like. There's no attraction to go play there.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, like, that's less about the stadium and more about...
Well, no, that's what I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like...
The location.
There's more about... It was more interesting for us to go play out there in Provo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you haven't done it.
Now, from a football perspective, I will say it's better for Tennessee to play Virginia in Nashville.
How good is Virginia this year? They're not...
Virginia this year has a good quarterback in Brennan Armstrong, and they have one of the better receivers in Keaton Thompson, but I don't think either of those guys will be there come 2023, so, you know, you're good there. Tennessee's 2023 schedule now. Virginia in Nashville, Austin Peay, UTSA, and UConn are your four non-conference games. And then that's the year that you get A&M at home, you get Georgia at home.
And this is all Nico's first year, right?
What?
This is all in Nico's first year.
This is all Nico's first year.
Yeah.
Virginia has a chance to be Nico's first game as a Tennessee Vol.
Man, that'd have been cool to see his first game out in Provo, dude. That beautiful backdrop.
That would have been a weird one.
It'd have been a super weird
one. That actually would have been really cool.
It would have been beautiful pictures probably would have been taken, you know? Oh, yeah. Memorable photos.
Your away games that year at Kentucky, at Florida, at Alabama. So, I mean, you have a really now a pretty easy non-conference schedule. It's much easier than going at BYU, and I don't really care how hard the non-conference schedule is.
Yeah.
If you have to, as long as we're continuing to have to play Alabama and Georgia every year, make it as easy as you want. I don't care. You know, no one else has to deal with that. We do.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I don't know, just home and homes are awesome. And I think there are some really great opportunities for some home and homes that Tennessee could set up. And I just wish more teams would set up home and homes, but...
Yeah.
I'll put you on the spot.
Okay.
Five schools you'd most like to see Tennessee play a home and home with.
Ohio State, number one. I want to see that happen. I thought that was scheduled for a little bit, and then I think it got pulled or whatever, but I'd love to see that. I'm telling you, I love going up to the Horseshoe, man. I've been one time. I got to see him play Michigan, and it was the environment's insane. That one, I'd do a home and home with Notre Dame. I'd do a home and home with USC, just because I'd want to beat the mess out of USC, dude. I can't stand the Spoiled Children University, dude. But honestly, dude, a UCLA one too, if you couldn't get the USC one, I'd like to go out there and play them. And then, what is that, four?
It's four.
Let's see. Either a Big 12 or a Big 10. But, I mean, we already kind of play Big 12 teams. You know what? Be kind of cool. Northwestern. I love their field. I love that field so much.
A home and home with Northwestern?
Yeah, I love Northwestern's field, man. Their grass is so beautiful. It is. I like their coach. What's his name? Son.
Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah, Fitzgerald. Yeah, I like
it. Whose son is he?
Is he not somebody's son? I just always think he has a daddy. I mean, everybody has a daddy.
I
mean,
I hope he has. I assume he also does have a father.
I feel like he has an important father, I thought.
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever...
Or a brother. I don't know. I always felt like he had... I might just be thinking of... No, I'm thinking of Kansas State's coach. That's Kansas State, the other purple and silver team.
Klingman?
Who's that old man that used to coach at Kansas State? Is that not who I'm thinking of?
I mean, you said Bill Snyder there forever.
Yes, that's something to Bill Snyder.
Yeah.
But I'd still rather go to Northwestern. But Bill Snyder was a great... I loved Bill Snyder.
I do love Bill Snyder.
Yeah, I just forget he retired last year, didn't he? Or 2 years ago.
Yeah. No, I think 3 years ago now.
Was it three?
Yeah, they hired North Dakota State's coach. Like, he's been there for a minute now. My five in order. Number five, I would want to play Clemson.
Ew.
I think a home and home with Clemson could be fun.
That
I think
would be
maybe
fun,
you could
though.
Catch them at the right time and kind of, you know, they came into your state and kind of took over a little bit of your recruiting grounds for a little bit. You catch them at the right time. You could maybe recapture momentum against them. Number four would be Michigan. Just going to the Big House would be pretty neat. You know, I think you get two of the bigger stadiums in college football to see and two of the more historic ones to see those two teams play each other in a home and home there, I would love. Plus, we got beef with Michigan.
I'm glad we have beef with Michigan.
Number three, you already said it, Notre Dame. Simply just for the fact that seeing Tennessee play in that stadium, seeing the Tennessee fans flock to that stadium would be awesome. Number two, I go Wisconsin.
Ooh. Because I kind of like that one, too.
I think that's fun. I think that Tennessee and Wisconsin fans could have a lot of fun together.
They can. Wisconsin parties.
We would have a lot of fun.
Wisconsin has rule.
Might have a lot of fighting, too, but we would have a lot of fun.
Oh, God, yeah. No, Wisconsin knows how to throw down, man.
Give me a Friday night in Madison, please.
Ooh, Friday night just so it's us and us on TV.
Give me the Friday night before the Saturday game in Madison to have some fun.
You wouldn't make the game.
I think that would just, I don't know, those two teams together.
That's a good
would just
one.
Be
I
funny.
Agree with you.
And number one, Virginia Tech.
Again?
But a home and home.
Oh, well, again.
And maybe establish some sort of rivalry with them. You know, some sort of border brawl. Play on the Battle of Bristol. Now that I think about it, I think I wrote that down. And, once I started saying those out loud, bump everyone else up one and put Virginia Tech four.
Okay. Wisconsin at one. Dude, that does sound
Wisconsin
like a,
one,
that
Notre
sounds
Dame
like a fun
two.
Weekend.
Wisconsin one, Notre Dame two, and Michigan three.
Virginia Tech four.
Clemson five. Those are the five home and homes I want Tennessee to set up most. I would have included Nebraska potentially, but we already have one with them, so.
Yeah.
I'm talking ones that we don't have, but we're up against it here. Final segment of the Blitz coming up next. Stay with us. Final segment of the Blitz. Wrapping things up like we always do. We're a little, if you haven't heard, you got about 4 minutes left here. Maybe time for a couple quick ones. Do you have anything?
Man, off the rip. I really, not off the top, not a lot happened yesterday. Besides, if you haven't heard, Patrick Beverley is the hater of the year, basically. The man's been getting grief on every platform now after his comments about Chris Paul not being able to guard, nobody being scared of him, and just speaking so tough on First or Get Up or whatever show he does. He was on there with Stephen A. I believe his First Take, that's what it is. And J.J. Redick's gone at him. Matt Barnes has gone at him. And one other have just let him know that he ain't got the credentials to be talking about a legend. But that's about the only thing that's happened that I'd say maybe somebody's missed. Do you have anything?
Yeah.
All right.
Mr. Beast. You aware of who that is?
Is that a...
He's just, really rich and does a lot of cool stuff.
Mr. Beast. I've heard that name.
He has, Mr. Beast Burger. He's on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Everything
else. I know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
Absurd amounts of money, lately, he's been trying to recreate Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, and also he's giving away an island. He makes a bunch of cool YouTube videos, does a bunch of, philanthropic stuff, and makes a ton of money. And there is a kid lately that Ryan Prunty, who has been trying to get the attention of Mr. Beast, spent $40,000 on billboards to get his attention.
What?
Yeah. Which, if you can get, if you can get Mr. Beast's attention, he'll give you some cool stuff. It could be worth it, but...
Yeah, I guess.
Spent $40,000 on billboards, everything, went all out, and he got the attention he was looking for. Mr. Beast then made a TikTok about him, but he went to his profile to message him to invite him to be in one of his videos and feature him in a YouTube video.
Oh, wow. I guess that paid off.
No, because when he went to go message him, the kid was not actually even following him. So he couldn't message him. So instead, he just made fun of the kid on the TikTok.
How do you miss that detail of your
that
attention?
That seems like be step one. How do I get this guy's attention? Step one, maybe I should follow him.
Follow him on Twitter, maybe. Just Instagram. Anything. Give him a follow at least. That's crazy. He spent $40,000 just to be made fun of on TikTok. That's A. If you want to get bullied, dude, spend $40,000. Because it's basically what just happened. That's insanity.
Well, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
But on the way out, your days of the day, Tuesday, May 17th. It's National Cherry Cobbler Day. National Graduation Tassel Day. National Pack Rat Day, National Walnut Day, and any guesses on the state?
West Virginia.
No. It's National Idaho Day, and that'll do it for us on the Blitz. For Charlie, for Stackhouse, y'all have a great day. Talk Sports up next.